Mayday, 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 relative pitch back up in the house. How y'all doing tonight?
That's a lot of energy.
That was a lot of energy. And for anybody that is like listening in headphones, that... owe you an apology for that.
Sorry.
Hello, and how are you?
Oh, don't do that either.
We should do a full episode where we're like, welcome to Relative Pitch.
Not an ASMR.
Because, girl, you know what's going to happen?
Michael.
Y'all know Michael won't say anything.
I will never forget. I was so embarrassed. And I think it was like a lit class or some class.
Girl, Gilgamesh. Gilgamesh.
We were talking about the story of Gilgamesh or whatever. And to be fair, this teacher had a very like dull, like not overly exciting voice. And very often Michael would slide down in his chair like this and just go. And Michael's loud when he sleeps.
First, okay. It's on the record. It's on the record.
No, it's on the record. No one has presented me with proof. So until I'm presented with proof in a court of law, I don't snore.
First of all,
Michael, but here's the thing.
You see, Lauren never said snore. She just said you're loud. You put those words.
No, but you said the word snore, Anthony. You said the word snore first. Run the record back. Run the record back.
Okay, let's actually do a rewind because I never said snore. You said it because you know you're guilty.
No, you said it because you always be blaming people. But I will say, I don't know who Gilgamesh is, was, or weren't. I was sleeping up in that class because she was boring.
It's just so being the person who's next to him, though.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Anthony, I never fell asleep in a class where you were in there.
First of all, it's not even a class. We would be sitting in like like events and you fall asleep.
Now, if people play boring, it's boring. I can't do nothing about it. Sorry. If the presentation is boring, it's boring. Can I do nothing about it?
And you definitely have. Like we have been like at Midwest at a little session or something. And I just know right now, if Michael put that head back,
ooh, baby, it's over.
No.
Well, okay. So what would you rather me do? This is my seating position. If I got my leg crossed, I'm probably on my phone looking. If I got my legs flat, girl.
But here's the thing, and that's the other thing. Michael is either on his phone. So for anybody that always want to say something about Michael is actually paying attention, no, he's not. Michael is usually scrolling. Don't even know what he'd be scrolling for, but he's doing something.
But I am listening. I may not be watching you, but I'm listening.
Anyway.
No disgusting monkey.
Anyway.
What's going on, right? I feel like there's a lot going on, and simultaneously, I have been trying to avoid all the chaos that's been happening.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's been going on for y'all where you are. Cheers and like aws. Oh, Michael, why are you okay? Hello, yes.
Yeah. I would like to say I need to do better about this too. But professors, we need to stop overloading our students at the end of the semester. Like, and I put on full guilt for this. And when I was constructing my concert cycle for this semester, I completely forgot when finals was, when juries were, and that's all my fault. So like I had a dress rehearsal tonight and we have our concert tomorrow. And then juries are this Friday and Saturday. And so I literally told my kids, I apologize, but then I threw them a little pizza party tonight, halfway through the dress rehearsal, and they get chocolates tomorrow after the concert. So like, I'm trying to make it better, but next year I'm going to be better about not overloading the students at the end of the semester. Because I don't want to add to the stress and I want them to actually learn for 14, 16 weeks instead of stress for like 8 out of those. Because, you know, you have the beginning of the year stress, the midterm stress, and then the final stress.
And constant state of stress. Yes.
So I know I'm going to do better about that, but I challenge all of my colleagues around the country and the world to do better about helping our students navigate stress by making our schedules more accessible for them to be learning at all times and not just be cramming for tests and other subjects.
Yeah, I feel like let's talk about education for a second, because I think that's relevant to everything kind of going on and all of where we all are in our different, areas of life. The thing about it is, like, education was very important. There are things about my time as a student that I'll never forget, and it's the teachers and mentors who I met along the way, the other students and colleagues who some of them became besties, some of them are, people I have worked with, or all, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the projects and things I remember, like some of the, materials and whatnot, subject matter. But honestly, whenever I think about an undergrad, I just go, thank God I'm not there anymore. And it's because of what Michael's talking to, which is like the amount of work and mental, physical exhaustion that students have to go through, because it's like you have to, everyone does it, so you have to. Why do we keep this like rigorous, like it feels like you have to, like, wouldn't it be great if your students at the end of the semester felt refreshed and they were like, we want to keep going? Because that then they like they want to keep coming back, and that's like instead everyone's just like so beat at the end and no one wants to do anything. It's like there's no room for curiosity to come out of it. It's just like you're at your max all the time as a student. And so I don't know, it's just something I've thought about. And I definitely don't feel, I'm not one of the people who like, well, I did it, so I want everyone else to do it. I actually don't think students need to go through exactly what I went through to get to where I am.
I don't think 100%. I do think there are some things they need to do because I do believe some students believe they're busy. And then when the real world hits them, they are going to get smacked to hell and back. And so there is a art to learning how to deal with stress, but there's not an art to learning how to deal with overbearing. So like there we should apply stress in some areas. Like for me in my position, and I think people will think this, if you can't get from A to B on your instrument, how are you going to take a band A to B? Like you need to get better at your instrument. And the only way to do that is practicing and being in ensembles. Now, am I saying go out here and be in seven ensembles? Absolutely not. Because you're not going to be able to practice. But I am saying go out and be in the ensembles that are going to help you be a better teacher and musician because you have to be a musician. Now, I'm not saying you have to be able to win an audition to go teach band. Now, I'm not saying you can go win an audition and then still go teach band. I'm saying A to B. And A could be bad and B could be mid. But you have to be able to go from one level to another level on your instrument and your musicianship to get there. But I do think at times we're like shoving so much stuff down their throats. Like, I don't know about y'all. I might really call myself out, and this is bad because I'm in my office. There is some things from oral skills and theory don't remember because it was 4 semesters of hell I had to get through, plus 2 piano classes, plus like this, that, and the third. Baby, they were talking about something the other day, like a double plagal cadence. I said, baby, I don't know what that means. Open your ears and tune. Just open your ears and tune. They say, how are we going to tune it? Open your ears. What note leads? Open your ears. And I might call myself out there. Now, I'm just saying. But there is a certain amount of hell kids have to, students have to go through. But I don't think it should be impossible. And I don't think it should be too easy. There's a good middle ground that we're not exposing because we're choosing to either be too hard. And I don't think anybody's being too easy. So I think it's just everybody's like, oh, they have to go through all this stuff.
A couple of things. First thing is, when I think about undergrad, I guess all those traumatic moments, I don't even remember. Like I truly cannot think of a time, although it was a lot, mind you, I did a dual degree. Like I did two things at once.
Well, wasn't there a couple of semesters you had to get like the provost or someone to sign off on your schedule because you wanted to take more hours.
Yeah, I did that. But for me, I cannot think of a time where I was like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do that I cannot breathe.
Right.
But that's also the way I was wired too.
Exactly.
Just like our last episode with Sheldon Williams, where he was like, I grew up, out in the field, cracking and moving and being all, being out there in construction. So like it's different, struggle. I think nowadays it's so easy to equate struggle with hard work. And so because you have to do something out of your normal, out of your circle where you're now learning, nowadays in this new generation, they don't want to do anything that brings them out of that circle. And I'll talk to whoever is listening about what is currently going on with this next generation, because I fear for them and I sound old, but it's true. These children don't want to do much past whatever they are used to doing. And meaning, like, for example, you say, hey, you have to stay after school because obviously you don't know your part. You ain't learning your part. You need to do this. Oh, mister, I can't be here for this. I can't be here for that. I can't be here for that. But I can't do it. I can't. So I'm just going to sit here and get a zero.
And they will happily.
And happily.
Because guess what that zero turns into? A 50.
Correct. It will turn into 50 various things. But then what's really funny, but it's also very irritating for us teachers, is that that same student who couldn't come after school will find a way, say they want to play soccer, say they want to play football, say they want to play basketball, and have full parent support to do that. See what
Heard.
I mean? They can't stay after school for tutorials to get their grades above, but they can stay and get the work done when it comes to something over here. That there's an issue there. Like I just saw, unfortunately, there was a principal who got jumped by a couple of students. A principal. Mind you, the principal is like the top of the list for it is basically the CEO of the school, disciplinary, all the things. And these kids jumped the principal. What are we saying here? What are we doing?
To me, that's I never would have thought about that
Correct.
in high school, middle school. Like, yeah, I got angry at admin, but like I would never have thought like, oh, I'm gonna jump them.
Literally.
Yeah.
And the respect is gone. So we were talking from respect, not just for teachers or professors or whatever, but the respect for people that are in a space to help you. And that to me, that is just one of those things where I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot do this. So that struggle part that you're talking about, Michael, yes, there needs to be rigor. Because first of all, there's already, and it has been said amongst everyone, so many people are getting degrees that A don't deserve degrees, they don't do this. So there has to be some type of rigor, which I completely agree. Because I went to school with people who I personally did not think they should have graduated with a Bachelor of Music and Music Education from the Kennesaw State University, because they sat there and cried because they couldn't play the piano test.
Whew.
The crying to get your way is a toddler's game. You are a toddler and you deserve to be treated like.
The learned helplessness Well, it's in our generation because it happened in our generation, but it is now tenfold in this current generation that is currently in school. The learned helplessness. I don't understand something. I'm not going to try to understand. I'm not going to ask the question. I'm just going to sit here and sit in whatever this is. And if a zero comes my way, oh well. If you tell me I'm not doing something right, oh well. I don't care. That is what's plaguing this generation. And it's all the way up to the college students.
The, w my whole philosophy of teaching and all I ask students to do, it's one word: effort. That's
Period.
it.
Effort.
You show me effort, I will go to the ends of the world to get you a job, to make you learn to see the light bulb. If you show me no effort, why am I here in front of you? Why are you here?
Yeah. Amen.
And like, and this is where we're gonna get into some music-y stuff real quick, y'all. I'm sorry. Kids can't play in cut time anymore. I was trying to start reading some duets with some kids, cannot play in cut time. And I'm like, cut time, it's easy. It's cut time. And they can't play in 6/8 that's slow. They can only play in 6/8 that is two beats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They can't play in 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6. I'm like, y'all, use the thing between your ears, please. And that's another thing that goes up to Anthony. I believe our generation, to some degree, like what you were just saying, with we went to college with people who do that. The reason it's tenfold in the next generation, because they're now teaching those kids. And then another thing I see is kids just don't have curiosity. They want to be told how to fix something and then still not do it. That, y'all,
Still not do it. They literally.
y'all, y'all, I had someone come up in here and play something. I say, yo, have you slurred it? No, I just chunked it. I said, it's not that you can't play the notes. You have no airflow, like at all. They're like, oh. I'm like,
And they will sit there. They
what?
will just sit there.
So everything I've gotten you to do in lessons, you don't think you should apply to your practice sessions?
Michael, look, I have an even better story. Today, I was assisting in this class period of sixth grade beginners. And for 35 minutes, the entire lesson was about key signatures. Okay, the first thing is the key signature is going to be between the clef and the time signature. It's going to be either a group of flats or a group of sharps. We
Or
go.
nothing.
Or nothing.
Okay.
And then we're like, okay, if this flat is on this line, it means this. If it's on this, it's da 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 da. 35 minutes go by. Now we're playing da 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 da. Okay, now we're at the end of this 45-minute class. Okay. So we ask one student, okay, what is this collection of flats right here?
Oop.
Let me ask it again. What the collection of flats, between the clef and the time signature? This is called a time signature. If you see 4/4, this is a time signature. So this is a something signature. Child,
And
my.
they'll look at you like you're stupid.
Yes. My colleague had a little lanyard of keys. He's jingling the keys. The kid. C flat. You know what? I'm sick. I'm sick. I'm like,
Not C flat.
number one, the when I say the learned helplessness, first of all, when the question was first asked, mind you, it went to another student, and that student couldn't know it either. So it was like, oh my God. The thing is, when the question was first asked, there were like three people that said key signature. Like some students, when you ask a question, it automatically hears the answer. They didn't even cheat right. How don't cheat right? They literally said the answer. You could have just said what they said, and that would have been the answer. At least we know you can say the vernacular. That's what I mean. And the fact that you just sit there. And I had a student one time who this whole semester never brought their percussionists. They never brought any of their sticks. And so obviously that's points off your grade, boo. Part of just coming to class is having your stuff. You don't have this. You're barely participating, this and that. Okay, it's report card time. You got like a 65. Hey, mister, how can I get my grade up above a 70? Well, let's think about that. Did you bring any of your stuff? Did you come to any after school tutorials so that you can learn your part? No. Oh. How many times did I have to call your name because you weren't doing what you were supposed to? Many times. Oh, so the answer is no. The grade that you have is the grade you deserve. I am not, you can call me old school. I am not coddling children. I'm not going to do that because for so long that is what's happening and that's what's creating this mess. I will say, for the people that was in our generation, those teachers coddled them because they let them do it. When I was so pissed, y'all, and obviously I'm still talking about it 5, 6 years later, I will never forget that boy cried to that piano teacher when we were third year. This was third year at Kennesaw State University. And if y'all was at Kennesaw State University in my class, y'all know who I'm talking about. You too know who I'm talking about too. That boy sat there, and Michael, this is one of your good friends too.
No, it's not. It's one of Lauren's good
No,
friends.
I mean who he cried to.
Oh, well, that's Lauren's friend. The one who cried is Lauren's good friend.
This boy sat there, mind you, it was a simple little piano thing, just move chords. Also, you're going to be a choir teacher, just saying, no shade. And look, now I'm giving hints to who it is, but that's not for this. But it's simple chords that A, everybody had to do. Everybody in that class had to do something and get a grade. And I'm circling back because of what we're talking about with stress and all that stuff. That boy went in there to that teacher and started crying. Said, I'm so stressed. I have so much to do. I have this to do and coral this and this paper and da da da. Honey, I was doing 2 degrees. Two. You had half of my responsibilities.
Oof. And you know when he walked out of there, he was smiling.
He did, and that's what pissed me off even more because he was able to let his little tears do the work for him. And no shade, these were white tears. Just if I had to go a little bit further. That's why I said, honestly, I haven't done it yet, but 2025, I did say, I'm just gonna start crying now when I don't get my way, because maybe something will actually happen.
A student this year cried in their lesson about how the stress of work. I'm about to get hate mail. All I did was calmly said, "Can you go to the hallway, collect yourself, and then you can come back into your lesson. Thank you."
Thing is with what I think, and obviously we here at was relative pitch, we are very, very empathetic and everything. I mean, you can listen to our whole body of work and you would know that we are here to support for whomever. But however, there is a point. There's a point to when we know, teachers know. You just trying to find a way to get out of doing the work that has been assigned. And I mean, there are some people, some professors that completely do put on too much work on you. But nowadays, more modern teachers, they understand the stress load. The more circular, creating a holistic person, we know that there's many facets of one person. So we're not putting so much work on you. What we are doing is expecting this is what's going to be in your future. And my job is to set you up best for your future. And guess what? If that is the job that you want, you have to get this done.
Right.
So now, because you let this creep up on you to the last minute, now you're stressing. Or you weren't prepared appropriately to come and do it. Like today, in my class, there were a couple kids who didn't show up to our solo and ensemble. Mind you, they had 6 weeks on this solo. So there were students who sat there and just didn't show up. And I said, oh, well, you're going to perform in front of the class.
Good.
Because you thought, oh, I'm not just going to go. No.
I found out a group that I gave music to, two of them did not go. And I literally looked at... I just looked at my phone when I found that out and I said, you can lead a horse to water,
but you can't make it drink. You know,
and you know, sometimes you just got to trust that. You just got to trust that saying because there's literally nothing else you can do.
And you know, and again, holding accountable. There was one student who parents, and this can get real sketchy. There was a parent who reached out because their child didn't go and was like, my child told me they're going to be performing in front of the classroom. And I just want to say, like, it was my fault and I'm this and that. And do he really have to perform in front of the class? Yes.
Yes. You want to come perform with them?
Because the thing is, if he would have just showed up, I don't care what their result was.
No one
cares. I don't care. But what I'm teaching is that you knew you had something to do. And it's about showing up and doing the thing. Sometimes just being there is the only thing we need you to do. And so because you did it, now you will be on Front Street. So here's your stage.
So, last piggyback, and then I'm gonna start the good stuff again. Two things. Read your goddamn email.
Oof.
That's it. Just do that. If you do that, half of my hair is gonna grow back. Second thing. If you know there's a conflict. And you wait till the day of, you are going to get all of my pent up anger and aggression.
Yeah.
From this whole semester.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel bad about it, actually. And I probably should, but I don't. Like, communication is key, especially in an era where this is on you at all times. And you already don't know how to write an email. You write one like a text message. So go ahead and just write another one like a text message. Like,
ChatGPT is free and everybody uses ChatGPT. For the college students that cannot write an email, you're not even doing work. Like, you truly
cheat. You can't cheat correctly. If you cannot cheat correctly, you can't do life. I'm sorry. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying to win.
Says from the person that cheats at every game we have ever.
And you motherfucking right. I'm sorry. I'm cussing a lot tonight. Anyways. But tonight we had our dress rehearsal for our concert tomorrow. Please tune in UNG Music Department.
Wow.
It's called Beauty and Brilliance Showcase of Brass. We're showing off our UNG Brass Choir inaugural and our Low Brass Collective and a little chamber music of an octet. I was sitting there conducting it, listening, and you know, we're rehearsing and we sweat and I'm sweating. Stage lights are hot. I'm trying to get these notes right, everything. And I was like, I love what I do. And sometimes in the bleak midwinter, you just got to be reminded of what you like to do and why you like to do it. If you let yourself get so caught up with what's wrong, and you know, we just did talk about our pet peeves and about what is wrong. But we all can lean back after even a hard day of being angry as shit and be like, We love what we do.
Yes. And funny enough that you say that, because today, after all of that, the kids had to perform, but for the ones that didn't show up and everything like that, and student not knowing to keep the key signatures. Today, after school, there were so many students that stayed after. I mean, the room was full. There was a lot of sounds going on, but they were after school. They're like, the thirst for learning, the thirst for getting better. It makes you feel like, wow, I love this. And the other thing for me, especially this year being the first year that I'm at my current job, you never know what you're going to walk into.
It's true.
So in that first year, you're kind of learning how the culture is, what they're doing, what it is. And for me, I'm like, okay, here is a problem. So the way I always like to fix things is by, okay, let me tackle this problem with the sixth graders. If there's an eighth grade issue, or if you're in high school, there's a 12th grade issue happening, okay, you need to nip that bud in the current ninth and 10th graders. You
Yes.
need to nip that bud in the sixth graders. So then next year, when those eighth graders are gone, amen, sometimes it's an amen. Guess what? Now that is something new. Okay, so that problem is now gone. So this whole year, I've been like, okay, this is a problem. That's a problem. This is a problem. I don't like the way this is happening. So, in these sixth graders, no. So, from that, especially now that we're almost at the end of the semester, I'm seeing my little sixth graders and I'm like, y'all are becoming little me's. And I kind of like that. Like, I'm kind of into it. Okay, I'm like, yeah, I did that for you. I did that. So, as Michael is saying, throughout all the hardships, teaching is not for the weak. It is
No.
not for the weak. But at a long day, I'm sitting there like, I wouldn't want to do anything else. Like, I truly wouldn't want to do anything else, because I still feel like I'm doing something. I'm making something change. If it's one thing, one little nugget, something is getting better. And talking about the good things, this will come out Wednesday, and on Thursday, I have a ceremony. I was voted Rookie Teacher of the Year. So they are on Thursday. Throughout all those, trials and tribulations that students put you through, they're still good. And the only way we can really make a change is if we actually become those people to say, no, you're not going to get away with this. And parents, you have to be with us too. Because I'm sorry, parents, you're the problem. Now, that's a whole different conversation, and we can get on that conversation at a later time, but you're the problem. You're the problem. Just saying, no shade, no tea. Now I'm gonna just sip my little cocktail right here.
All I'm going to say about these parents, love you, parents. But if you come up to me, and this is the one question that I will definitely do. If you come up to be like, did you call my child stupid? Yes.
Okay, we can't do that. Now we can use other collective of words.
No.
See,
Because I never
you
call
get
a
a
child stupid. No,
pleasure just
I
walk
no,
into a
no, no, no,
school.
no, 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 no. I never call a child stupid. I will say that was a stupid question. I will say that was a stupid thing to do. I would never say a child is stupid. If I say that was a stupid question and things, and they say, well, you call me stupid, I'd be like, you called yourself stupid. I never say that either.
Just
But
like
I'm
how
telling
earlier when Lauren said you're a loud sleeper and then you automatically went to snoring.
I didn't. You want to run the tape back? Because I don't believe in the tape.
Run it again. Run it again.
I just say, until you present me with evidence that will hold up in a court, nothing.
Okay, so we don't film during the summer, but however, us three are going on a cruise together, which, if anybody going on a cruise in June 21st,
I still have not bought my flights, y'all.
anyways, when we come back in August, We gonna have recording and we
Yes.
gonna air it all out.
No,
Because
you're not.
tell
Because
you.
guess what? I don't sleep loud. I sleep small. This is how I sleep. I'll go this.
Michael, you know you lying because you smiling, because you know.
That's how I say I sleep with a smile because I'm getting sleep.
Michael, the way you be calling
Now, Anthony
cops,
and Lauren, I don't even know how I do it.
Michael, the
I
way
don't know
you
how
be
I sleep.
calling them horses off that hill, woo!
I do this. Anthony goes like this. Lauren's a little softer. But Lauren be doing something else that is etched in me and Anthony's ears. That just whoop.
You know what? And that's still not nearly as loud as you snoring.
No, now that's a lie.
Lord, wait a minute. I think we've taken a mile. Wait a minute.
Would not be discussing this. Thank you.
Now, Lauren said,
Cease and desist.
I need to get my papers to cease and desist, girl.
Oh, you gotta be served. Served.
And baby, I will. What was that?
But Miss Lauren, I mean, you're literally about to be done with your entire doctorate.
Yes.
Doctor.
I think that's why I'm so reflective on my education is because I'm literally getting to the terminal moment where it's saying like there is no more school for you to do, to be considered an expert, quote unquote, in your field. I say that because I know a lot of doctorates who are not experts or anywhere near that in their
Are
field.
they crying for their degrees?
Maybe they are. It's a mix. Here's the thing. As someone who I feel like everything that I have done has moved me along in some way towards where I am now, I can also, in the same breath, say that there were some things that were actually beneficial to me and other things that were just a check mark for me to be in the place that I am, right? So there are some classes that if I could take that class with that teacher 50 times, I would, because I feel like I would learn something. And there were other moments where I just was like, I think I had to do that to get this degree, but I don't think that it actually showed me anything beyond like maybe what I wouldn't want in a program or what I wouldn't want to include for myself, like, students in the future. I think that there are so many students who are going down the path of like, oh, I don't want to do anything, and like everything's too hard, and like all this stuff. And their parents and other teachers will allow them to do that. They are never able to do that by themselves. If they are getting through school and even work, some people later on, by crying, by making up excuses and everything, it's because other people are letting them do that. So if you are an educator like out there and you are seeing this trend, make sure that you are doing your part to like not allow that to continue with this student. Now, we can't, it's all these students we have, yes, et cetera, but like make sure as long as they are with you are trying to foster better behavior out of them. And that also has to happen in conjunction with other teachers and the parents, the students themselves. But like I've met those students, I've been in those same classes, and I'm like, the reason that they're able to be there next to me is because the teacher is letting both of us exist in the same space. Me as a person turning in work on time, extra credit, whatever, and them who barely shows up to any classes. We are in this room together, and there is no separation from us from the university standpoint, but like at all, right? That's an issue. That's an issue, but it's not an issue that's entirely on the student because there's some holes within the administration, within the how what the faculty are choosing to do for maybe their own benefit, if it's tenure review year, hello, and other things, where they may be letting students slip through. It's a balance. Rigor is needed, effort's needed, all those things. And there was a bunch of BS that we had to do within our degrees to like graduate as well.
Oral skills.
And both, well, no,
Oh no, shut up.
let's
Just
not do
because
that.
you're not good at it.
Let's not do that. But
I was gonna make me play Trevor Bell.
Yeah, I think I'm very excited to be at this stage where, I am literally just at this point preparing, like doing final dissertation edits, preparing for my defense that's in like mid-ish May. And the big question that people keep asking that, like, this is a PSA to anyone listening to this. If you see posts of mine, coming up soon, graduation stuff, all this stuff, you see me, you want to send me a DM, do not ask me what's next.
That always,
Don't do
yeah.
it. Yes, Michael.
What's next?
Bitch.
I'm so sorry. I had to. I had to.
If you let's use that as an example. If someone, and this has happened like at least 12 times in the last 2 weeks, what's next? And I go, I have a job.
Hey,
I do
man.
many things. I will continue to do those things.
Employment.
Employed, right? Which is again, most people, and that's it, who are leaving with a doctorate. Not many of them have jobs immediately after. Some of us are lucky enough that we either were working throughout the degree, or we have something lined up. I'm in that very lucky position where I have been working within my job at the symphony for now. This is year three, and I will be continuing on with that. But I also do other things, as we all know. And I think maybe it just annoys me because it's like I'm obviously on a different path than like the traditional path that people are on. So I'm like, why am I still getting that question? Like, what? I think what maybe I would, if someone's like, well, what do I ask you? How are you going to enjoy your time now that you're out of school? Maybe ask that.
Also,
Because,
that's traumatizing too. Like,
right.
even for people that are graduating with, bachelor's, master's, doctorate, and they don't have a job. They've been applying, especially in our career. So many people are applying for things and being told no.
Right.
It's a traumatic question. Like, what's next? I don't know.
No. I will say I am guilty of this, but this is with everybody because I'm like middle school, what's next? I'm going to high school. Okay, heard. High school, what's next? I'm going to college. Oh, what college? Oh, I'm not going to college. Okay, what you gonna do? Like, I don't care what you do next, but I'm just asking what's up. Because I also find this, not you, Lauren, but some people don't think. Like
That's
I went to a master's degree. Lauren went to a master's degree with these people that forgot 4 years turned into 4 semesters. And then you're out
yeah,
there.
oh.
And then people are like, I was like, because girl, by the end of the first year, I was already thinking about what's next.
Oh, for
Because
now,
I like to
2 years.
plan. Because I was like, okay, Dr. White, what should I do next? What should I do DMA? Should I go back freelance? What should we be doing? And then I used that summer to think about what I want to do. Took that last year was just my like I enjoyed my last year more because me personally had a plan about what's going to happen next. I
Correct.
auditioned for one DMA program, the only one I was interested in. And then I started lining up work back in Atlanta if I were to move there, and I took auditions. That's it. I knew those were the three different things.
That's so funny because I think for us three on this podcast, we always kind of have the question of what's next because I think us three, we are bound to not do anything or completely be. We hold ourselves to a certain degree to where we are going to find something to do. Like that's just who we are instinctively. And it always baffles me when there are people who literally don't think about what's next,
Right.
where they're kind of like, oh yeah, I'm just enjoying those 2 years, like in a master's degree. And then now you're at the end of the master's degree, and it's like, by the way, you're graduating, and guess what? They're kicking you out. Like they're
Right. Well,
literally kicking you
no,
out.
they're not. No, some universities are not. They let them take a victory lap.
That's
That's true.
true. But regardless, you're going to be paying money. So whether they kick you out or you're paying thousands of dollars, which some do, to me, I kind of forget that those people exist. Especially as you go in upper degrees. Like I clearly remember people in undergrad, like they truly didn't know, nor did they care what will be coming next. They were like, well, it'll just fall in my lap. That's also a form of privilege. When you clock it, that's a form of privilege because things have
Right.
always been handed to you. So you
Right.
don't ever have to worry. But For me, it's always been like as you go in the upper degrees, that kind of excess people get left behind. But there's still people in master's and even in doctoral degrees that are like, I got this degree. And
And I'm
what
like, baby, I'm so happy for you. You got a piece of paper, baby, and you paid a lot of money for it.
but that question does have a level of trauma to it.
And some people in your life are asking it to put you down. I know this for a fact. And that's the hurtful thing within our community. Just like it's like you we already know it is and it is hard being as a musician. It is not as hard sometimes as betrayed because there is money in the arts. You just sometimes I got to go find it because traditional paths are not there sometimes. You have to be hungry enough to go find it. But some people, because they are unhappy with they are, because they chose to do something you didn't, like there's many different reasons. Or they want to make sure they have a leg up and they always ask what's next, even though they already know.
They
So
know.
I find those people very, very, very ancient.
I think it's from who it's from. Like if it's from a mentor or, a close friend. Like if I were to ask Lauren, like, girl, so girl, what you think? What's
Yeah,
going
that's
on?
very different.
Yes, but it's coming from the loving places, like just girl, we checking in because we check in with each other. But if it's a person that I don't know, and you asking me what's next, like bitch, first of all, you're my business. Don't do that. Don't do
That is,
that
Anthony really is. Don't do that.
because don't do that because you'll find that on Facebook when I make my announcement.
Right. Like everybody else.
Like everybody else, but the ones that I keep close to me, they know.
Exactly.
The other thing that we have to do, unfortunately, is protect our ourselves because people really do be preying on your downfall.
Trifling.
True.
Trifling.
Because especially for a person that's like graduating, they're applying for jobs or auditioning. Like I don't know how many times I've been on the phone with Michael, and Michael's like, "Yeah, I'm auditioning for this," and then there's like 8,000 trumpet players auditioning for one thing. And I'm like, first of all, that's stressful as heck. And then when you know they don't get it, not Michael, because he's the second,
I'm
trumpet
sorry.
at the Chattanooga Symphony
I
Orchestra.
hate y'all so much.
But the other people who don't get it, it's like, oh well, this, and then it starts this whole kind of toxic conversation about this and that, or why that person got it, why I didn't get it. Oh, I'm about to get my professor to write this. Same thing for when you're going out for jobs. I don't know why they got an interview. They can't do this. For what are we doing?
Right.
And so that's why you gotta hold things a little close. Only those select people need to know how you move and where you moving to. And then for everybody else, find out on Facebook when it is something good.
Right.
And this is what I'll leave everybody with, y'all. Anthony just said part of it. You don't know how people move. And some people, the way they move is not the way you want to live your life.
Right.
Because we want to live an authentic life by intrinsic motivation, not in extrinsic bullshit. So have the people close to you that ignite the intrinsic flame and don't extinguish it with extrinsic thoughts.
Big words.
Y'all have a good night. Wish me luck on my concert. If you watch it, I'll be bringing in a 747 about 25 times. And I might even stop conducting. Who knows? Because 7-8 is hard. So I hope y'all have a great night. Sip you
Out.
some sweet tea
Out.
and have Whataburger tomorrow. So have it with me.
Whataburger is disgusting. But that's neither here nor there. Friday. Kisses.